man wants to be like his daddy. 999 out of 1,000, their daddy's their hero when they're little boys. That puts a tremendous amount of responsibility on us as daddies. The story in Luke chapter 16 is about a man who died and went to hell. When this man was in hell, he's screaming for mercy. And he's asking Abraham to send somebody to his father's house to testify to his brethren. Think about it. This man's in hell. He's already dead and in hell. And he said, let me have a drop of water. And they said, you can't have no water. You're in hell. You can't have no water in hell. He said, well, at least send somebody to my father's house. Notice what he said here in verse number 27. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, talking to Father Abraham, that thou wouldest send him to my father's, his literal, physical, earthly daddy's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Lot of stuff in that scripture. You see in that scripture that hell is a place of torment. Hell's not a place of resting in a grave. Hell is a place of torment. Then you see that this man had five brothers at home. And he said, let somebody go to my daddy's house, my father's house, and talk to my brothers. I've got five of them up there. And they're up there laying around acting crazy. And none of them saved. They ain't none of my brothers saved. Send somebody to my daddy's house to testify to my brothers. I wondered when I read this scripture why he did not mention his daddy. I don't know for a fact that what I'm getting ready to tell you is true, but I'll just about guarantee you it is one of two things. That man, when he was in hell, he did not say, Father Abraham, send somebody to my father's house that he can testify to my daddy. My daddy needs to hear this. He needs to hear about this place and to my five brothers. He just said his brothers. He didn't mention his daddy. Now, one of two things is possible here. Either he didn't care or think about his daddy, and thought his daddy wouldn't even listen. But here's another thought that could have been on this man's mind. This man's daddy might have been dead and already in hell himself. You say, well, Brother Danny, you forgot one thing. He might have been saved. Well, that's a possibility, but I doubt it strongly. If that man had been saved, there's a good chance his six boys would have been saved. It's very, very seldom you find a saved man with six boys that are lost without God. You might find a saved man with one boy lost and three or four boys saved. You might find a man getting saved late in life and dying and leaving behind lost boys. But it's very, very, very uncommon for a man to live in this world and be a saved man, live for God, love God, and all his boys lost. That's just almost unheard of. So there's a good possibility that his daddy might have already been dead. He might have remembered his daddy's funeral when he was a young man, and though there's no hope for daddy, send that angel to my father's house that he may testify to my five brethren. Brother, I don't believe we as daddies understand this morning just what kind of role models we are, for our boys. You daddies this morning are setting an example. What kind of example will your boy follow? The title of the message might be, Boys Follow Daddies. Or, Daddy Sets the Example and Boys Follow. There's a scripture in the Old Testament that says God visits the iniquity of the fathers, under their children, to the third and the fourth, something like that, generation. Every young man wants to be like daddy. I know in the Word of God in Daniel chapter 5, Bible said that there was a man by the name of Belshazzar who was wicked and would not live for God. And you know what God said to him through the preacher? He said, you're just like your father, Belshazzar. Many times if a man goes this far in sin, his son will go this far in sin. and his grandson will go that far in sin. Boys, follow their daddies. I want to say to all you men here this morning that were up here as a daddy, you have a double responsibility to live for God and serve God, because that boy of yours is following your step. I'll never forget when I was just a little kid, even before we moved down to Nebo, we lived in Clinchville till I was, I was 6 years old, five when we moved. So I had to be about years old. And I remember this plain as day, Daddy taking the lawnmower and walking around. He'd mow the grass. He'd mow the grass, cut around this way and cut around that way, cut around that way. Do it, you know, how you mow like a square and it keeps getting littler and littler. And I remember I would put my foot in every step that Daddy took. And I'd do like this then, you know. And I'd put everywhere his foot would come up, it would leave a little mass down place in the grass. And I'd put my foot right in his step, just like that. I didn't even look up. I was walking in his footstep. I thought about that. And I thought about all the young men that are walking in their daddy's steps. It's scary. I heard about a story many years ago that a man was sitting in a bar, and a man was sitting there having a beer or two, and the atmosphere, you know how, I hope you don't know how, I don't know much about bars, but I know it's dark and sleazy and smells like smoke, and there's all wicked music and stuff like that, and all of a sudden, that man felt something pull on him like that, and he looked down, and there was his little boy, and the man was outraged. He said, "Son, what are you doing here? You have no business in this place." It was an old cold winter snowy day, and the little boy said, "Daddy, all I've done was walk in your footsteps. All I've done is follow you here." And I want to say, brother, that daddy had to hang his head in shame, because he realized that his own wicked lifestyle had led his boy into a bar. Let me tell you something this morning. There's too many men saying to their sons, "Don't you do this and don't you do that," when you're setting the opposite example for them. If you don't want your boy to do it, you better not do it. Amen? One little boy cussed one time, and his mama said, "All right, son, go upstairs to your room." And the daddy come in and said, "What's wrong?" She said, "He said a cuss word." Buddy, he started pulling his belt off. He said, "I'll teach that boy to cuss." He started up that steps. He tripped and fell. He let a string out of him about that long. And mama said, "That's plenty good enough for his first lesson." That's well, amen. Hey, if you don't want your boy to cuss, you clean your mouth up. Amen. You know, we was going to put it up there on a sign sometime. Help keep Marion clean. Shut your filthy mouth, you know. Stop air pollution. Amen. Brother, they talk about air pollution and smog in the air and all of that, when all we got is filthy words coming out of people's mouth from daylight till dark. If you want your boy to talk clean, you get your mouth cleaned up. Hey, if you don't want him to put up a beer can, then set yours down and throw it in the trash can. If you don't want him to smoke cigarettes, throw your cigarettes away. If you don't want him to smoke pot, put yours down. You say, "Well, that's hard for me to take, preacher." I know it is, but you've got a little boy that's following in your footsteps, and he's watching every move you make, and he's not listening to what you say. He's watching what you do, Daddy. Oh, boy, I'll tell you what. I'm telling you. Listen, I heard about a little man who told his little boy to get up and put his toys down and get ready for church. And his daddy is sitting there reading the paper, and he said, "Son, get ready. It's time for you to go to church." He said, "Daddy, you going?" He said, "No, I'm going to stay here. Daddy's tired." He said, "Well, Daddy, did you go to church when you was little?" He said, "Yes, I went when I was little. Now go on." He said, "Well, I bet it won't do me no good neither." I'll tell you, I like men like Joshua in Joshua 24, who said, "As for me and my house." Joshua didn't say my house is going to serve God. You know what I've noticed when traveling around? There's too many men, they expect their wife to do right. They expect their kids to do right. They expect them to be spiritual. But they just get to live any old way that they want to live. Joshua didn't say, "My house is going to live right. My wife's going to live right. My kids." He said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Brother, our generation is in dire need of some men with some backbone that will stand up and say, "Yes, I will stand for what's right and set an example for our own." You know, we're short on men in this generation. The generation of men we've come out with the last 20 years are a bunch of softies. You can tell, brother. I mean, they're scared they're going to break their fingernails. Somebody said if the president goes ahead, lets that crowd in the military he's wanting to let in there, that they won't have M16s no more. They're going to have pillow fights. Amen, brother. Hey, you say, well, I don't think that's funny. You know why? Because your mind's perverted. Amen. Somebody done perverted your mind, brother. I'm telling you tonight, in the Bible, God expects men to be men. I know that's not popular in this generation. They want you to be nice and smart and make the living for everybody and all the minorities, homosexuals, everybody else group, live off of you hard working white men. That's what they want. Well, I want to tell you what, brother, it's high time for us as men to stand up and say, I will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we'll serve God. We need some men that will be a good husband to their wife and a good daddy to their children and set a godly example and read that book and pray and live for God. How many of you men here this morning, your kids have seen you on your knees praying this week at any time? How many of your kids this week have seen your daddy on his knees? You say, your kids seen you? Yes, they have. Mine come in walking in on me this morning. Man, I prayed him many a time with him walking around on my back, playing, hugging me around, want me to horse, ride him a horsey. You got to learn how to do all that kind of stuff when they're little. His little arms crept around my neck. Then I heard him say four simple words I can't forget. Four words that made me pray. They turned a mirror on my soul, on secrets that no one knew. They startled me. I hear them now. He said, I'll be like you. One day he told them, he said, I ain't no model father. I'm not the best I in the world, but I'm just trying to live my life in such a way so that when people tell my boy that he reminds them of his daddy, that he'll stick out his chest and not his tongue. Amen? Well, I heard about this fella that had a man. His man, he said all his house is saved, and he had a boy that was lost, and he had up a sign on the wall that said Joshua 24 or 15, whatever it is. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And somebody said, but one of your boys isn't saved. Henry's not saved. And he said, yeah, that's right. I got to quit lying. So he wrote underneath the sign, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, except Henry. And buddy, he left that up on the house, on the wall in the house. And every time they'd have a meal, they'd look up there and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, except Henry. Guess what? Oh, Henry got saved. He got tired of looking up there and seeing that everybody is serving God to him. And old Henry got right with God. I'm telling you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, fathers set an example for their kids. I don't know where the rich man's daddy was. Maybe he had left them when they was little. I don't know. Maybe that's why they're all lost. Maybe he's already dead. Maybe he is in hell. But that boy cried out, Father, send somebody to my brother's house, or my father's house, and tell my brothers, and never mention his daddy. You don't cease. You know something else we see from this scripture? Y'all listening? Everybody listening? You know something you see from this scripture? You don't cease to be a father when you die or when your kids die. Amen? Here was a man dead and in hell still talking about his daddy. He's still your daddy. He'll be your daddy forever in heaven and hell. At the trial, many years ago, there's a boy standing before a judge. And they brought out the case, and they gave out all the evidence. And finally it comes time for me sentenced. I don't guess nobody knows the feeling of suspense and pain that a mother or a daddy would in the courtroom as their son is being tried for a heinous crime or something like that. And finally the judge said, young man, stand to your feet to be sentenced. When that boy stood up that day to stand before that judge, they said his daddy stood back there. And his daddy stood with his head bowed. And it was just like his daddy was saying, hey, that's my boy up there. I'm part of him. I'm partly responsible for him being here. When you sentence him, you sentence me. When you send him off, you're killing part of me. And that man stood there as the judge sentenced his son to the penitentiary. Oh, how sad it would be. How sad it would be to stand before God and God have your son up there and sentence him to hell while you stand there as a daddy. And say, oh my God, I run off making money. I've done everything in the world. And except teach my boy about God. And now you see him lost forever. That'd be a sad thing. The rich man remembered his five brothers. So he probably remembered his daddy too. Young man over his daddy's casket. Said one time a man died. They had him in the funeral home, and he stretched out there, and his boy come around there, and he started weeping and crying. Now, everybody weeps and cries in a funeral home, but people do it for different reasons. Some people do it because they're ashamed at how they treated that person. Some people do it because they'll miss them. But other people do it because in the back of their mind, they don't know if their daddy's saved or not. That'd be an awful testimony. All you men listening to me tonight, or this morning, you have an obligation when you leave this old world to let your kids know that you're going to heaven. Don't put them through the torment of walking around your casket at your funeral wondering where you're at. That boy come around that day and begin to beat on that casket and begin to scream and cry and lift up his voice to God. And he said, oh God, if I'd just heard daddy pray one time, if I'd just heard him pray one time, I'd have a little hope. If I'd just heard him, but I never heard daddy pray. And he don't know where his daddy's at. Listen, men, you have an obligation to live in front of your children in such a way so they'll know where you went. As many of you know, Daddy used to be an alcoholic before he got saved. This is the third Father's Day I've been without an earthly daddy. And I'm telling you, if you want to do something good for them, you better do it now. They ain't going to be here always. I'd like to be able to tell my dad Happy Father's Day today, but I can't do it. I'll never forget the greatest thing I ever heard my daddy say. See, I got saved and started preaching. And when I was doing that, daddy had been drinking real bad, you know, and everything. It got worse. And I used to go in there and pray for him, and I'd pray for him all the time. And one time he was passed out on the bed drunk. And I went in there and put my hand on his ankle. He was sticking out, you know, sticking out kind of out of the bed. I got down and I started praying. I said, oh God, please let daddy get saved. Boy, the devil's all over me saying, your daddy ain't going to get saved. Your daddy's going to hell. He'll never get saved. He ain't going to get saved. Boy, I tell you, it was awful. It was awful. I couldn't stand the thoughts of my daddy going to hell. Couldn't stand the thoughts of it. And I'll never forget one morning we was going to preach on the street, me and these boys. I went in over, stopped in over at Mom's. Before we went, and I walked in the dining room, here come Daddy through the house. And he had a whole bag full of beer and stuff. And he come walking through there like that, and he set it down on the kitchen table, and he said, that's it. We said, what? He said, I quit. And I said, well, Daddy, what? He said, I was in there on my knees last night, 2 o'clock in the morning. And he looked up and said, I failed it when it come. I tell you what, son, I come unglued. I said, hallelujah. Daddy felt it when it come. That's the only terminology he knew. You know, he didn't know glory to God, the omnipotent, all that kind of stuff. He said, I felt it when it come. He's like that guy who got saved, you know, and he got baptized. And they put him down in the water and they brought him back up. And that guy hadn't been saved very long. He didn't know all them Bible words he's supposed to use. That guy jumped up and he said, hot dog, like that, right in church. Boy, I'd rather hear him jump up and say hot dog and have something down in here than to say glory to God, you know, and have nothing down here, wouldn't you? Amen. But that daddy went on to glory. He went on to glory because he asked the Lord to save him. I'm telling you, you're a man here this morning. You ought to tell your boys and girls, Daddy's saved. Meet me on the other side. I'll see you in glory. Fathers are forever. Fathers are forever. No doubt if this man's daddy was lost, he told him he hated him in hell. I hope that you men here this morning will make up your mind that you're going to do right and serve God, and you're going to lead your kids right. Somebody said years ago, when I was just a little lad, and after school hours, I used to work around the farm with Dad. I used to be so worried when eventide was come that I got kind of anxious-like about the journey home. But Dad, he used to lead the way and once in a while turn around and say, so cheering, like so tender, come on, son, come on, you're nearly home. I'm old and gray and feeble now, trembling at the knee. But life seems just the same today as then it seemed to me. For while I'm still so wearied out when evening time has come, I still get kind of anxious-like about the journey home. And still my father leads the way, and once in a while I hear him say, so cheering-like, so tender, come on, son, come on, you're nearly home. And the same as then that helps me some, and so I'm following Father home. Really, the greatest thing in the world is winding up in heaven, daddies. Too many dads today are worried about a dollar bill. And they're so took up with the things of this world that they forget their main job in life is to go to heaven and take their family with them. If you can do that, you're a success. You might live in a cardboard shack with dirt floors and eat bread and water, brother, but if your family all checks in over on the other side one day, you've been the greatest daddy you could possibly be. Amen? You can't beat that. You're setting an example today, daddies. I hope and pray to God we'll take it serious. It's your job to make sure your family's in church. It's your job. It's your job to pray with them at night and teach them to read the Bible, lead them spiritually. It's not just your job to make sure they're in church. It's your job to make sure they're in a Bible-preaching church where they'll hear the truth. It's your job. You'll be responsible one day. I hope and pray to God that you'll make up your mind today that you're going to be the daddy God wants you to be. Let's stand with our heads bowed. Them little hands that hold your hands this morning are watching you, Dad. If you've got a bitter attitude and criticize everything that goes on at the church, criticize the singing, the preaching, and you have something negative to say about everything, that's exactly the way your kids are going to grow up. If you love God and serve God and not try to make excuses for your sins and do right and face up to your responsibilities, that's the way your kids are going to grow up. Daddy, how about meeting me here at this altar this morning? Let's gather around an old-fashioned altar and say, God, make us the daddies that we ought to be. You say, preacher, my kid's done grown up and gone off and got married. It's too late. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's never too late as long as you're living to be the daddy that you're supposed to be. Dear God, do what ought to be done. Speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray for every man, woman here this morning, daddies, please help us. Dear God, help us to be that you'd have us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You begin to come this morning. Come on right now.
Just as I am without one plea.
Thank God.
But that
thank God. Amen. Oh, come on, Dad. How about it this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing. Let's sing. Everybody.
Just that.
Amen.
To rid my soul of one dark blood to thee, whose blood can cleanse each vile
limb
of God.
Amen, Daddy. How about it, Daddy? Get your life on the altar. Get right with God. Let's sing. Let's sing. Everybody.
Just
come on.
I am, thou wilt receive.
Amen.
Thou wilt welcome, Lord.
Yes.
Done cleanse, relief.
Amen.
Because
yes.
Thou promised I.
Amen. Some still coming. Let's sing. Some still coming. Let's sing. One more verse, everybody.
Just that.
Thank God. Hallelujah. Amen. Woo! Glory. That's a blessing. Thank God. Amen. Ain't God good? Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah. Yes, thank God. Before we sing another verse this morning, these are praying on the altar, getting things right with God. Prayers are being answered. My, isn't that a blessed sight? Boy, there's hope as long as there'll be some men like this. Be strong. That's what's wrong with men of our generation. We ain't strong no more. The Bible says be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. We need some men that will stand up and say, we're men. Hey, we're living in a society, brother. They're trying to take your guns away from you and everything else. Crazy, crazy bunch of people. They're trying to strip us of every bit of manhood that God has ever given us. And they'll brainwash you. God give us some men. God give us some men that'll stand up and be counted. Buddy, our daddies and our granddaddies and our great granddaddies, man, them that fought in them Civil War and all them, boy, you talk about a rough bunch. Nowadays the air conditioning's tore up. People don't even want to come to church. Amen. Boy, we're a pitiful generation. God give us some men.